Well, this morning we are in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 27. Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for turning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 27. And we will continue looking at the faith of Moses, as we see how faith endures fear in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 27. One of our memory verses for this month, verse 27 says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, you have seen fit in your divine wisdom to record the lives of those who have gone before us and to give us examples of their faith, so that, Lord, we may be encouraged and we may be strengthened in our faith. And Lord, we thank you for what we are about to learn this morning. Lord, we are careful to ask that you would lead us into truth. May the Spirit of God be our teacher this morning. May he glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through your word. And Lord, we pray that as we see the triumph of faith in the life of Moses, Lord, help us to remember, Lord, you are the same God. And Lord, you do not change. And Father, we too can experience victory in times of fear by seeing you, O Lord, and claiming the promises of your word by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I'd like to begin with the story of a mother and a daughter who were tucking themselves in to sleep, and the young child was afraid of the dark, and her mother was trying to reassure her, but because she was alone in the house with her daughter, and it was just the two of them, on this occasion the mother was also a little bit fearful as well. When the light was out, the young daughter caught a glimpse of the moon outside, and she said, "Mum, is the moon God's light?" And the mother said, "Yes, God made the moon for a light in the night sky." And the daughter said, "Well, will God ever put out his light and go to sleep?" And the mother replied, "No, my child, God never goes to sleep." And then out of the simplicity of a childlike faith, the daughter said, "Well, as long as God is awake, there is no sense of both of us staying awake." And you know, that's just a little story to remind us that fear is the opposite of faith. When you and I are filled with faith, when you and I have set our eyes upon the Lord, you and I can endure the fears of life. And that is what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27 is all about. We see that the Bible tells us that Moses endured. Moses was strong. That's what the word endure means. Moses was strengthened in order to face the possibilities of great fear, and he endured by faith as seeing him who is invisible. You see, God's plan for us is not to live in fear. God's plan for us is not to be crippled by our fear. No, he has called us to a life of victory. And Moses experienced such victory by faith, by allowing God to be seen in his life. Now, last week we were reminded that the first time that Moses forsook Egypt, he was running from the wrath of the king. And that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse speaks about 40 years later when he returned to face the wrath of the king. When he turned to confront the king, and Moses forsook Egypt by faith, he rejected what Egypt had to offer, and he led out the people of God after the judgment of God. And we knew from last week, if you were here, before Moses could face Pharaoh, he had to first climb a mountain of personal fears, didn't he? He had to climb some personal fears. When God called out to Moses, remember Moses said to God, Lord, here am I. And then when Moses found out what God wanted him to do, he said, send someone else. Moses said, Lord, who am I that I should go? I'm a nobody. And then God gave him the promise of his presence. And we too have the promise of God's presence in times of personal fear. We all face personal fears. And what an encouragement to know that God is with us. And then we saw Moses said to the Lord, Lord, they won't believe me. Moses was afraid they wouldn't believe his testimony. They wouldn't believe his words. And what did God promise him? God promised him his power. God said, I will do the miraculous. You just obey me and leave the miraculous up to me. I will do the impossible. And likewise, you and I have the promise of God's power. God's strengthening. We have the promise of the powerful, supernatural Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we would simply declare the gospel, not worrying what people will think, God will work through His Word. And then the third doubt. Remember, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I've got a problem. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good public speaker. I've got a speech impediment, a problem. Now, we don't know what that was, but God did. And do you agree with me this morning? God didn't accept any of Moses' excuses. In fact, his unbelief kindled the anger of God. And God said to Moses, Moses, you better listen, because I will give you the words to speak. I made your mouth, I made your body, and I can give you the words to speak. In fact, I'll give you a helper, Aaron, your brother, as well. And we see that God's provision is given to us also. His presence, His power, and His provision. Therefore, you and I, if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can endure our personal fears, whatever that may be. And we need to overcome our personal fears if we are to live by faith. Now, we all have them. But this morning, we're going to look at enduring potential fears. There are those personal fears that we deal with within. But would you agree with me that in this Christian life, there are also dangers without? There is our sinful nature within, but then there are dangers without. There are potential fears that surround us every day. And how are you and I going to live in this world and fight the good fight of faith? How are you and I going to be able to do that? Well, we need to endure, as Moses did, by seeing Him who is invisible. Well, when we last left off with Moses, he said yes to the Lord. He overcame those personal fears. He packed up his bags and he headed off to Egypt. So let's catch up with Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 5. And let's find out what happened as he went back to face the wrath of the king, the Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. Notice Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Notice the boldness of Moses and Aaron. Now come back with me to the land of Egypt and imagine in your minds for a moment what it must have been like for Moses and Aaron to walk into the royal court of the Pharaoh himself. Now we can look at Egypt today and we can see the relics of the seven wonders of the world, one of them, the great pyramids, the Sphinx in Egypt, and we can easily picture in our minds the grandeur and the greatness of what Egypt was in its greatest day. Remember, Egypt was the greatest empire in the world. Why did Pharaoh build everything so big? Because that's how big he thought he was. He was so puffed up in his pride. Egypt had conquered the known world. They had the greatest army. They had the greatest military. And everything in the land of Egypt spoke of Pharaoh's greatness. Can you imagine Moses and Aaron walking in to the Pharaoh's royal palace? Can you imagine everything around him and how that influenced his feelings and fears. Now, this was no ordinary place. This would have been a place filled with idols. Idols of gold, idols of precious stones, glorifying their pagan ancient gods. Let me assure you, there was nothing resembling the one true God in that place. It was a pagan place. It was a place of spiritual oppression. It was also a place of great power and great riches. You know, Pharaoh designed his city in a way to intimidate his enemies, to show them and invited them to Egypt to see his greatness, to intimidate, to cause, to fear. Everything in that place that Moses walked into with Aaron was meant to cause them to fear. No doubt Pharaoh had his well-trained armed bodyguard surrounding him. No one could get to Pharaoh except through them. And these were not any ordinary bodyguards. They had no ordinary army. Friends, this was the most powerful, well-trained army in the world at its time. Now, what did Moses have in his hand? No doubt these Egyptian soldiers had the latest weaponry available. And what did Moses have in his hand? Well, by sight, it was just a shepherd's staff. Pharaoh had an entire army to back him up. And who did Moses have? Moses had his brother Aaron to back him up. Can you imagine with me what it must have felt like to walk into that place? You know, sometimes we don't think things through, and when we do, we're amazed how Moses walked in there and the boldness of his demands. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And the Bible tells us in verse 27 that he did not fear the wrath of the king. Potential fears. Would you agree with me this morning? The potential fears must have been great. They must have been. What could the Pharaoh have done at the very mention of this bold and demanding statement? Now remember, Pharaoh was not just a man. He was considered a living God upon the earth. They worshipped him. This would have been an insult to him, and he could have easily taken their lives. And yet the Bible tells us very clearly that Moses endured. Moses was not afraid of the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And before we go any further, let me encourage you to see that God put Moses in this situation for a reason. Would you agree that God wanted Moses to be there, yes or no? Would you agree that it was God's plan for Moses to face his fears, yes or no? Now, of all people, Moses would have said to God, and he did, why me? I ran from the wrath of the king. You want me to go back there? I don't want to go back there. I'm happy here with my little family here in the wilderness. I'm happy to take care of stubborn sheep. The Lord said, no, I want you to go back and take care of stubborn people. I've just been preparing you out here. I want you to go back. I want you to be the deliverer, the spokesperson for me to lead my people out. Now, if there was ever a person that would have said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to go back, that was Moses. But he overcame those personal fears. But now it was time to face the potential fears. And friends, there are things around us each day that can cause us to fear. No doubt Moses had to face them. And I'd like to share with you this morning, and I may have mentioned it last week, that God's plan for us as Christians is not to do away with those things that cause us to fear. That's not his plan. In fact, God's plan for us as Christians is to face those fears. You see, that's what happened to Moses. God put him in that situation and he said, Moses, I'm putting you there and I want you to face perhaps your greatest fears, potential fears. Why? Because I want you to learn to trust in me more. I want you to learn to trust in my power, my presence, my provision, and yes, my protection. You see, as Moses walked in, he had to choose at the door how he was going to handle this situation. Was he going to allow what he saw and what he heard around him to cause him to be crippled in his faith, or will he look to him who is invisible? And one thing Moses knew, this is the will of God. He knew that God had brought this situation into his life for his good. And God would be glorified. And friends, that's how we need to see, by faith, the things that you and I fear in our lives. You see, God wants us to face our fears so that we may learn, like Moses of old, to be strong. Would you agree? To endure. Friends, faith is only learnt by trusting in God. If God doesn't allow those fears to stay there, then we won't grow in our faith. And yet so often we say to the Lord, we say, Lord, please take this away. Lord, I don't want to deal with it. Lord, this is too much. I would much rather that you got rid of it and then I'll be happy. And God says, no. Why? Why does He say no? Why does He bring those fears into our lives and even cause us to face them? Why? Because God's plan, and listen very carefully, is not removal. God's plan is not removal. God's plan is victory.
Amen.
Amen? God's plan is victory. His plan is not removal. God will not just remove that person, that problem, that difficulty in your life just so you can feel better. No, God will allow you to face that problem and cause you to trust in Him by faith so that you may experience the victory that is in Christ Jesus. You see, for Moses, the plan wasn't removal. God could have delivered the people Himself. God could have just crushed Pharaoh like that. God said to Moses, no, I'm going to work in your life too. I'm going to prepare you for what's ahead when it comes to the nation of Israel. You're going to have to face some potential fears. There were great fears. I put myself in Moses' shoes and I don't know if I could have not feared in the presence of the king's wrath. And yet Moses saw that God was with him. But before we go there, Moses was put in that situation by God to grow, to face those fears. And friends, ask the question, what fears are in your life and mine? What fears is God allowing us to face right now? You may want them removed, but God may say to you in His Word, no, I won't remove them, I want to remove the fear. I'm not going to remove the problem, I want to remove the fear and replace it with faith. And when you replace fear with faith, then you can endure that problem. Then you can have victory over it rather than God just removing it and putting it off to the side. You see, His plan is removal, is not removal, but victory. Look with me in Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119, verse 71. Notice what the psalmist says regarding this truth. Psalm 119, verse 71. Why don't we read this verse aloud together? Psalm 119, verse number 71. On 2. 1, 2. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, isn't that the opposite to how we naturally respond? We say to the Lord, Lord, this isn't good for me. Lord, I don't want this. Please get rid of it out of my life. And often that's how we pray. Oftentimes our prayers fall on deaf ears because that's not the will of God. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Do you agree with me this morning? The greater the problem, the greater we have reason to pray. Amen? The greater we have cause to cling on to the promises of God more than ever before. And that's His work of faith in our lives. See, there are many potential fears. I'm not saying they're reality. Some of them are. Some of them are present fears, but not all of them are present. Some of them are just potential. We worry about the what ifs. We worry about the what may happen. We plan the disaster scene in our minds already. If I go door knocking, I'm going to get beat up by 10 people in a row. I'm sure that's what's going to happen. That's a potential fear. That's a potential fear. But it's not a faith. And the psalmist said, it's good for me to face my fears. It's good for me that I'm afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, facing our fears is important. Sometimes we run from them, and the Bible says we cannot run. God will bring us to face them, and therefore we must make choices by faith to trust in God. And by the way, that's how he's worked throughout the lives of the heroes of the faith, even those not in Hebrews 11. We know about Moses and Pharaoh, don't we? But then think for a moment about David and Goliath. David did not fear. He ran down towards Goliath. He didn't walk, as we learnt last week. He ran towards Goliath. Why? Because he was running by faith. Then we see the example of Daniel and King Darius, how he was not allowed to pray towards God. He was not allowed to worship the Lord. And yes, there were some potential fears. There were great fears. There was the loss of his life. That was the consequence. But what did Daniel do? He endured by seeing him who is invisible. He said, God is in control. I'm going to honor God. And when he was even thrown into the lion's den, Daniel did not fear. Why? Because of his faith in God. He was trusting in God. You see, that's how God works throughout the lives of those who are his children. Think about Nehemiah for a moment. Building the wall, suddenly the enemies of Satan appear. And by the way, Satan has always hindered the work of God. And yet God did not just remove Sanballat and Tobiah. God said, Nehemiah, I want you to deal with them by faith. I'm not just going to take them out of the picture and send a lightning bolt down and destroy them. No, I want you to face this fear. And what did Nehemiah learn to do? Every time an accusation came, every time he found himself in danger. We don't even read the verse that it's the words saying that he went to prayer. No, you just read the words, "Oh Lord," he prayed. Nehemiah learned to be a man of prayer by facing his fears. What a miraculous work God did. You see, God wants us to face our fears for the good of our faith and for the good of others. So Moses had to face Pharaoh once again. He had to face the king. He had to face his wrath. But he endured by seeing him who is invisible. Christian, don't be surprised when God allows what you fear the most to come into your life so that you may learn to trust in him. Now that's our first point, facing potential fears. God will allow us to face them. Now notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. As we turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27, now Moses could have been very afraid of what he saw in Pharaoh's palace, the intimidation of the king. But notice what the Bible says in verse 27. Hebrews 11 verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the, say it,
wrath.
Not fearing the wrath. What does that tell us? Well, that tells us that Pharaoh was pretty angry. His wrath was real. It wasn't a potential fear. It was real. The king was angry. It wasn't just that Moses spoke to the king and the king was calm and somehow God turned his heart. No, the king was angry. In fact, the Bible tells us that God unleashed one plague after another to bring the greatness of the kingdom of Egypt down to its very knees. One after another, God unleashed a plague, a judgment, and Pharaoh was humbled, but Pharaoh was also angered. The more God judged him, the more angry he became towards the Lord and towards Moses. As Pharaoh experienced the judgment of God, his heart grew harder and his anger grew greater as he saw his kingdom come down before his very eyes. By the ninth plague, Pharaoh was full of wrath. See, Moses had to face the wrath of Pharaoh. It doesn't say he didn't have to face his wrath. No, Moses had to face it. Notice with me Exodus chapter number 10. As we turn back to the book of Exodus, after the ninth plague, Exodus chapter number 10, notice verse number 28. You see the fears that Moses had to face were real. Notice verse number 28 of Exodus chapter 10. And Pharaoh said unto him, "Get thee from me, and take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Now God wasn't over dealing with Pharaoh, and Moses knew that. But Pharaoh said, if you come again and make a demand and plea for your people, I'm going to end your life. I will kill you. The wrath of the king was present. The wrath of the king was raging. And so Moses had to face it. He had to face the king's threats. He had to face the king's anger. He had to face Pharaoh time and time again. He had to face these so-called contests, if you will, between God and Pharaoh, and Moses was stuck in the middle. And Moses had to stand for God. Can you see the fear that so easily could have overwhelmed Moses? And he had to face them. He had to face Pharaoh face to face. And Pharaoh said to Moses after the ninth plague, and we know that there's one left, if you come again, you're going to die. You're going to die. And what did Moses do? What did Moses do? Did he run away back to the wilderness? Yes or no? No. Did he crawl up in a ball and hide in a corner? Did he cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm afraid of the threats that are coming my way. Lord, I don't want to take this anymore. Lord, I can't handle this. I don't want this." Did he run away? No, he didn't. The Bible says that Moses endured. He was strong in faith because he saw him who is invisible. You see, remember in the very beginning, what did God promise? God promised his presence. You see, Moses knew that God was with him. And Moses knew that God was in control. Yes, Pharaoh thought he was the king of the world, but he did not realize that God is king over all. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Moses, by putting his faith in God, was strengthened to stand for God, to stand in confidence, because he knew God was with him. The Bible says, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. What does that mean? Well, he didn't run. He turned from what he could see and what he could hear, and he did not allow the threats and the fears to affect his heart. He turned away from the fear. He turned away from the intimidation. He turned away from the wrath. And who did Moses see instead of the oppressive fierceness and wrath of Egypt? He saw him who is invisible. And friends, that is how you and I endure potential fears. We see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is invisible, yet present in our lives. Friends, you see, the king's threats were no threat to Moses. Moses knew that it was God that was in control. And so often you and I are crippled by our fears because we're not looking to God. We're not looking at his promises. We're not learning about who he is in our life. He is present. He is powerful. He will protect us. Here we see God's protection over Moses. And yes, Moses did see Pharaoh again. And the next verse, in verse 29, Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more." Moses wasn't saying that I won't see you again. Moses is saying, I'm not going to plead for the nation of Israel. The next time I see you, you're going to do the talking. And you're going to say what God wants you to say, that my people will go. And that's what Pharaoh did. But see, Moses wasn't afraid. Moses in verse 29 said to Pharaoh, another bold statement, would you agree? He wasn't afraid. He didn't tremble. He endured by faith because he knew God was with him. Friends, we have God's protection. We have God's protection. Notice Psalm chapter 27. You might say, Pastor, this was this fearful situation. And who would want to face the wrath of the king with only Aaron to back you up? Well, Psalm 27, have a look at Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. David certainly had great fears, potential fears in his life. Notice what the psalmist David said. Psalm chapter 27. Thank you for turning there. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh," and by the way, they did. David was running from King Saul, the tallest man in the land. He was running from him, not out of fear, but because he did not want to harm the king. He did not want to hurt God's anointed, but he did not fear because he knew that the Lord was with him. And they stumbled and fell. God took care of them. Verse 3. His enemies. God took care of his enemies. Verse 3. "Though an host should encamp against me," and they did, "my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me," and it did, "in this will I be confident." What would he be confident? Well, the Lord is my strength. Verse 1. "Whom shall I be afraid?" You see, David was not confident in his strength, in his fighting ability. David was confident in the Lord. David knew that if God was his God, then God would protect him. Would you agree? And in fact, David was saying to his enemies, "Do your best, I will not fear." Because David knew that God would only allow his enemies to do to him what God would allow. They could go no further than what God would say. And when God draws the line, God stopped his enemies. God dealt with King Saul. God dealt with Absalom, his son, when his own son tried to kill him. David knew that his enemies had no power except under God's control. Can I say that again? He knew his enemies had no power except under God's control. Now let me ask you, is that a comfort to you this morning? Is that a comfort to know that many of our potential fears are really just potential fears? They're not reality. They're not reality. They are our fears coming out. And we're not choosing to look to God by faith, like David of old, to understand that if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. If God is for us, who shall be against us? David was secure in his God. And if you are a born-again child of God this morning, you are one of God's special people. You are a beloved child. You are a child of your heavenly Father. Friends, he is our security. He is our defense. He is our shield. He is our protector. He is our defender. And yes, there are times at night that we hear the possum on the roof and we think it's a burglar coming through the window. But David said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." You see, David said two things. He said, "I will both lay me down," not just in sleep. Sometimes we just fall asleep because we're so tired, we're fearful, and we just fall asleep, we knock out. That's not the solution in the Christian life. That's not the solution to end our fears. No, David said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep." Why? "Because thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." He knew that God was his security blanket, amen, to put it plainly. He knew that God was his shield, that God covered him with the wings of his protection, the arm of his strength. All you need to do is read the Psalms before you go to bed, and you'll sleep in peace, amen. But that's our problem. We're not looking to him who is invisible. So often we live by fear. Maybe we've conquered some personal fears, but it's the potential fears that cripple us. It's the potential fears that stop us from standing for God. You see, Christian, if we don't get a grip on who God is, fear will cripple our faith. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Notice with me there while we're in the Psalms. Have a look at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Perhaps you might say, "Well, look, I'm fearful and that's just the way I am, and I know God will protect me and I guess I'll just live this way." Friends, to live in fear is a dangerous way to live. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a what?
Snare.
A snare. What is a snare? A snare is a trap. A snare is designed to entrap a victim unknowingly and unwillingly. Just like a hunter will put out a trap for a wild animal, the Bible tells us that the fear of man is a snare. If you and I fear what man can do unto us, then we have fallen into the devil's trap. We are ensnared. We cannot live by faith. We cannot run by faith. We cannot do anything for God because our fears have weakened our knees. Our knees are feeble. They're buckled, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. And so if we allow fear to become a snare, we're in trouble. You cannot live the Christian life that way. In fact, every decision that you make will be made by fear. Now, don't get distracted. Brother Huey, you might like to put down a few doors. Thank you, brother. Yes, please. Thank you. So, listen carefully. Many times we say, well, I'm making a decision of faith. But it's not true. We're making a decision based on our fears. Because we're afraid. We're afraid of running out of money. So when we're out of a job, men, what do? We take the first job that comes. We don't pray about it. We don't ask the Lord, is this your will? And yes, it may even be a path of the devil to take us away from church, to take us away from the will of God. But because we're afraid that we'll be out on the street with our family and nothing to eat, and God won't be faithful, He won't keep His promises, what do? We live by fear. That's how we make decisions as men, as many times, because of fear. And mothers and ladies, you do that too. We've already spoken about fearfully raising our children, not because of the fear of God, but the fear of the world. So we raise our children in a way that the world thinks is best, rather than how God thinks is best, because we are worried they may not turn out. Because the world says if you discipline your children, they will rebel against you and they'll hate you. So therefore, I better not do that, because that's what the websites are saying these days. Is that correct? No, God says the opposite is true. If you love your child, you will firmly, consistently discipline them so that they will learn there's a difference between right and wrong. That's fearing the Lord and not fearing man. But we make decisions based upon fear. Thank you, Brother Hugh. Based upon fear. And it's a snare. You can't live the Christian life that way. Let me encourage you, church family, to beware of the snare of fear. The Bible says, what animal is the devil likened to? The devil walketh about like a roaring lion. Now, have you ever heard the roar of a lion before? Maybe in a documentary or maybe in a zoo. What is the lion's roar intended to do? What is it designed for? To scare. It is scary. To intimidate. To cause an enemy to fear so that the lion can dominate. And is that not so true of Satan himself? What does he do? He intimidates. He intimidates us with potential fears. And his roar is loud. And his roar is frightening. And many of you are afraid because you are afraid of the lion's roar. The devil is causing you to fear things that are not even reality. But he roars. He seeks whom he may devour. He knows that fear is a snare to the Christian. He knows that a fearful Christian will not witness for the Lord. He knows that a fearful Christian will not stand for God in their home, will not stand for God in their workplace, will not make decisions for God because they're crippled by fear. Some of you aren't going forward in your Christian life because you're intimidated by someone who is ungodly, who is worldly, and you're afraid of what they think. And they're disobedient to God, but that doesn't mean you have to be. Amen? That doesn't mean God expects you to live in fear. See, Moses endured the wrath of the king. The king had the authority in the land. But the king forgot something. That God is the authority over all kings. He is the king of kings. Amen? And Moses saw God with him. When he walked into the palace, God was with him. When he walked into Pharaoh's a presence every time he did. He knew that God was with him and God protected him. He was comforted by God's protection. Friends, how can we be delivered from potential fears? By looking to him in faith. In faith. Isaiah chapter 26, just a few more verses. Isaiah chapter 26. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Isaiah 26, thank you for turning there. Notice verse number 3. We all fear something. We all fear something. Notice God's solution. In verse 3, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Not just any kind of peace, a supernatural peace. God will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Friends, the Word of God is what we need to fill our minds with. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, we cannot see Him who is invisible. Would you agree? What do we see? We see the intimidation of what we can see with our eyes, like Moses. We hear the intimidation of the threats that people might even make against us. But what we don't see is Him who is invisible. We need to bury our mind in the Word of God. Amen? We need to know God. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you and I can live by faith. God will give us perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And any time you and I feel fearful and distressed, let me encourage you to open up your Bible. If you don't know where to go, start in the Psalms and just read the Psalms of the Word of God. Wonderful promises of God's protection, His presence with us, His power around us, His provision within us. But only in the Word of God can we endure. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So when you and I say to the Lord, "Lord, where are you? Why have you allowed this thing to happen to me?" Well, we haven't been looking to God much. We've forgotten about Him because He's right there. He's right there with us. And His will is not removal, it's victory. Amen? It's victory. So when that attack comes again, and it will, in one form or another, the devil's not going anywhere until the Lord comes. When that attack comes again, we'll be ready to live by faith. Amen. We'll be ready to have victory. You see, your present fear right now is not going to be the same one in 10 years' time. Teenagers, the fears you have right now are not going to be the same ones you have as a parent, you have as a grandparent. They change. But God doesn't change. That's why we need to endure by faith, by seeing Him who is invisible. Nehemiah learned to pray when he was afraid, intimidated. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, in fact, about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Once we read a promise of God, what do? We pray it to God. We hold Him to His Word, amen? We say, "Thank you, Lord, that I have your protection." And we can be like David of old and say, "If the Lord is my strength and my shield, whom shall I be afraid?" That is faith. And you can have that faith. You can have that faith like Moses. You can be strong in faith by claiming His promises in prayer. You know, if the truth be known, the Bible tells us not only how we can live by faith, but as I close, the Bible tells us about how the wicked live. The Bible says that they are in fear where there is no fear. That's what the Psalms said. They are in fear where there is no fear. People who do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior are just living in fear because they don't have any rock to stand on. They don't have any foundation for their faith. So they live in fear. Friend, when someone casts a threat towards you or is angry at you, that's a fearful individual. They are the ones who are afraid. Why should we be afraid if the Lord is for us? You see, it's the world that lives in fear. It's the world that needs to see a Christian living fearlessly in a fearful world. Would you agree? This world is becoming much more fearful. The world is changing. Europe has changed. America has changed. It's not the same place anymore. Some of us may have wanted to go on holidays in the future and have cancelled our ticket and decided to stay in Australia. Good choice. Amen. Stay in church. Amen. Stay in the will of God. The world is changing. Australia is changing. The fears will get greater. But God has not changed. And this world around us needs to see a bunch of Christians who are living by faith. And maybe someone might ask you the question, how come you're not falling to pieces like I am? How come you're not afraid? How come you can be so joyful in that situation, in that affliction, in that trial, in that adversity? And then you can share with them the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me ask you this morning, if you died today, are you afraid that you may not be in heaven? If you died today, if today you breathed your last breath, are you afraid of where you will go? Friend, if that is true, let me encourage you. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. He shed His holy blood once and for all to pay for your sins and mine. And then on the third day He rose again from the dead so that we may be delivered from our fears, from sin and death and hell, and we may receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Savior that has come to deliver us from our sins, to deliver us from the wrath of God that we deserve. If you're fearful this morning about where you stand with God, let me encourage you, don't leave here without talking to someone, without finding out how you can be sure your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life. See, the Bible tells us that if we are not saved, we live in fear of the judgment to come. If that's you this morning, let me encourage you, Christ can save. He is willing to save you this morning from your sins and give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Christian, if you're here this morning and you are trapped by your fears and not living by faith, understand God will allow you to face them. Amen? God will allow you to face them. And the only way we can do that is by faith. By faith in the promises of God. We'll all face fears this week. Potential fears. And how will you and I deal with them? By seeing Him who is invisible.